Well, good evening, everyone. I hope you're having a good Monday with DeMarco Farr, J.B. Long, and the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Sean McVay, will join us momentarily. 5-3 at the midway point, unfortunately coming off a disappointing loss to finish that first half at Miami. DeMarco, how's your Monday been?
A little weird. I got a college-age daughter that's worried about tomorrow. So I was going to ask Coach, man, I need some words of wisdom. What can I tell a 19-year-old? What are you telling the players about the world?
I think you got to be able to, use your judgment wisely, figure out the things that are important, and make decisions accordingly.
You knew you were going to get some softballs from us tonight. You didn't think you would get hit with the 19-year-old
politics
question.
She's bouncing off the walls, Coach.
I don't know. I got nothing for you there.
Well, Sean, it is the first time you've taken a loss going into the open date, so this must feel a little bit different. I imagine it'll feel like an eternity until your next opportunity. Are you wrangling with some of that right now on this Monday evening?
Yeah, it's... it's never ideal. I mean, it's much more enjoyable to be able to enjoy some time off, because I think it is at a necessary point for us, after you do what you feel like you're set out to do. And we missed a big opportunity yesterday. I mean, you give credit to the Dolphins. They did a nice job. Instances, I thought, we kind of lost that game as opposed to, handling what we should have, and that's a difficult pill to swallow.
Outside of the feeling, I mean, does anything change for you on the bye week? I mean, had you won, would you have done something differently going forward? Or now that you're sitting on the L, are you going to do something different for the bye week? Did you change plans?
No, you're not going to do anything different. I think it's just the feeling, especially today when it's so fresh. You just realize how much, work goes in for those 3.5 hour windows, throughout the week, and how important it is. I think, it's also a good little check and reminder that you got to be able to handle it and continue to move forward. But to say that it's not a extremely sick feeling, when you don't accomplish the results you want, I wouldn't be being truthful with you guys. And that's how I feel today. The beauty of the league sometimes is when you got another game to prepare for, you can move forward to it on the next day. And now you got to wait around and stew on it for a couple weeks, which can be a good thing if we handle it the right way. But I do think it is important for our guys to be able to look inward, for us as coaches to do that, but also give ourselves a chance to kind of get away, decompress, and come back refreshed and recharged and ready to roll for the second half of the season.
After Sunday Night Football, I appreciated Cowboys quarterback Ben DiNucci's comment, which was as simple as, this NFL thing, it's hard, after getting a taste of it in prime time. And, I kind of thought about you guys flying back from Miami. And in what ways was Week 8 hard? Like, what challenges uniquely did the Dolphins present on the field yesterday in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, it boiled down to exclusively being able to handle some of their zero-pressure looks. And we didn't do it at all to the level of expectation or standards we have. And, there's a lot of things that go into winning and losing a game, but I think you could really boil it down to as simple as our lack of poise and inability to handle some of their pressure looks, which we fully well knew and expected those to come. We're not executed to the level of, expectations that we have. And that was the resulting factor and the biggest factor in why we did not win that game.
That's the thing that we were talking about. I think we all would have bet our houses that sort of look, that sort of scheme wouldn't stand a chance against you and your offense. You're ready for it. You've seen it before and you can get the ball out quicker than most. It just seemed like yesterday it was new. It seems like something you haven't seen before.
Yeah, I think, we didn't execute a lot of the things that we had talked about, and that's what happened yesterday. And, clearly I have to do a better job of making sure there's clarity, and then I think there is a level of ownership that exists with the guys, being able to recognize, getting in and out of the right things, and then be able to execute those things that we talk about.
Apart from yesterday's game plan, if you were to teach a clinic on how to beat cover zero, like, what were some of the principles maybe that you would have up on those slides in a coaching clinic to teach?
Well, I mean, I think the number one thing is it's a game of math. If we're blocking with five and they're rushing six, understand where you're free off of and how you have to slightly move to that side and what kind of leverages and coverages and what routes, that you can activate to still be able to beat it. And if you understand where that's coming from, that's the first thing. You got some screens, and then you got the ability to use, extra protectors, which you saw. But it's as simple as just understanding where your issues are and being able to slide and move away from it. And that was something that we didn't do a nearly good enough job with.
Wow. I bet you can't wait till the next practice. to get to work again, to start this stuff over again. Yeah. Do you feel like you have to start over?
No, you don't have to start over. You just have to address the things that occurred and be honest. And everybody's got to be receptive and secure enough in themselves to handle it. And then you move forward. But it takes that ownership from everybody, myself, players included. And if you can do that, then that enables you to be able to move forward. But, you know, that's where we're at with that.
Rams are 5-3 at the midway point. This is the Coach McVay Show on 710 ESPN. After the week off, they'll be home at SoFi Stadium. It gets heavy in terms of West play. The Seattle Seahawks will be the first in. Kind of zooming out a little bit, one of my Monday morning thoughts was, look, you guys have a better record than many of your opponents, many of your peers, and you're healthier than a lot of your peers, to be certain. To only have, to my recollection, Terrell Burgess and Traven Howard lost for the season, having your two deep intact going into the second half, I imagine has to be thought of as a really great competitive advantage up there.
No, it's a real positive, JB. And, you know, our guys have done a good job. And, you know, if we're able to continue to stay healthy, we'll get some guys back hopefully after the bye. And that'll be a real positive boost for us. But that is definitely a blessing for sure.
And with the trade deadline approaching, with the indication then that you guys are kind of standing pat with the group you've got and getting some of those pieces back, as your acquisitions be accurate, be a reflection of your intentions?
I would think so. Yeah, I think that's the smartest thing for us right now. And you know, there's always things that potentially could occur last minute, but that's not something that we anticipate.
Wow. You know, it's funny. I saw Charles Barkley on this one video. This is way back, and he was talking about playing Michael Jordan, and he just played, and he was looking at the stat sheet and said, man, Michael Jordan shot the ball 45 times. And that made me laugh because I'm like, weren't you on the floor with him when he was doing this? But when you get so locked in, I was during game day, I had no idea that Goff put it up 61 times. Do you know those numbers when you get over 50? Like, wow, he's put it up quite a bit today. Or is it just, this is what we need to do in this situation?
Yeah, no, I could feel that. I mean, and you get into some situations where, you know, you got a 2-minute drive, you know, at the end of the half, it's a 14 play sequence, you know, where the numbers can get really high. We had some plays that we were calling runs that we ended up, you know, getting a look that changed it to a pass, which is why you saw a handful of those in some of the early downs. And then when you get behind 28-7, and you're throwing it to get back in it, especially towards the latter parts of that game, you know, that's the kind of game it became. That's never the ideal situation or scenario, but like I've talked to you guys about before, you know, if they're going to put everybody up in the line of scrimmage and basically dare you know, you have to be able to make them pay. And that's where we didn't do that. And they activated a lot of those pressure type looks in some of those, even early down and distances, not exclusive to some of the third downs. And, our inability to consistently execute, you know, the different options that we had is why we continue to see it. And that's something that didn't surprise us at all. But it's something that we can look inwardly and make sure that we have a better plan, better clarity, and better ownership of what that plan is so that we can see better overall execution.
Speaking of execution, I know a lot of attention drawn to the negative plays, be the strip sacks or the turnovers in general. But, you know, I also thought about some missed positives going into the half, an entity or a time where your protection did hold up. You had Kupp kind of in the end zone for six. And at this level, is it fair to say missed positives can be as costly as true negative plays in a situation like that?
Yeah. You know, I really think overall, I thought the offensive line was outstanding yesterday. You know, what a lot of people don't realize, they see Goff getting pressure and they think, well, that's on the line. Well, no, we only have five protectors in some of those instances. And when they're bringing six, you know, you can't block six guys with five people. And right. So I thought the offensive line performed really well overall yesterday. They definitely were. I thought they had a winning performance for us. It was the other instances that caused us to not execute in those situations. And so there were some positives. We ran the football efficiently. They were able to create good movement. And Miami's a good, tough defense. But I think overall, just kind of the theme was, you know, whenever you end up kind of feeling like you're getting into a rhythm, you end up, you know, hitting Cooper on a 44-yard, you know, play down the left sideline and, you know, it gets called back for holding or, you know, we're just, you know, we get a turnover on the 7-yard line and first down we go negative run and then second down we fumble it and they go back the other way for a touchdown. So it's kind of a collaboration of errors that ultimately led to us not winning that game yesterday.
You know, I told somebody the same thing, Coach. I said, you're acting like they got blown out. It was a one-score game. You know, I mean, sure, it didn't look like what you thought it was going to look like, but, I mean, there were still chances to win that football game. It's not like they got blown out. You throwing stuff?
I agree. You know, that's the one thing. You know, they continue to compete. I thought our defense kept us in the game, and unfortunately, you know, those 28 points are reflected in truly, you know, three of those touchdowns I look at as the offense, and then they had the special teams return. So, you know, the shortest, you know, the longest drive they had was the 33-yard touchdown that also came off of the interception from Wilkins. And, you know, those are things that we just can't do. You know, I think we've done a really nice job of playing complementary football and figuring out how to win a game in all three phases. And that's where I didn't feel like I did a good enough job for our team yesterday. Left us susceptible to some of those mistakes. And I'll be better for that. But it was a disappointing deal. And that was not complimentary football in the least bit yesterday.
We can talk more about Kai Forbath a bit later, but hypothetically, if that field goal had gone through, it seemed like you were in a really good place with 3.5 minutes to go and all your timeouts. Like, in a parallel universe, would you have really liked your chances down 8, needing a touchdown and a 2-point the rest of the way?
Yeah, I would have, because I felt like, you know, we had finally settled in, and, you know, I would have liked us just to catch the ball on 3rd down and 5. You know, Gerald is a really pretty sure-handed player, and, you know, I would have rather have not have to worry about kicking the field goal there and, you know, try to get the touchdown then, and then maybe play for a field goal on their last possession, because I did feel confident that our defense would get a stop like they did and get the ball back. But, you know, that was that's where the thing I think that everybody can realize is, in a lot of instances, you know, there was a handful of guys that have to do better and can do better. And, you know, as long as everybody takes that approach, then we can move forward with that, because football is the greatest team sport there is. There's certain guys that I expect to play at a higher level, and I certainly expect to do a better job in my role as well. So I did feel good about making it a one possession game there with the momentum that we had, but ultimately we didn't get it done.
All right, coming up on this edition of the Coach McVay Show, would love to do a midseason rookie review with the head coach of your Los Angeles Rams, plus Taylor Rapp finding his footing in the back end of the defense. Nice couple of weeks he's put together against the Bears and now the Dolphins. We'll talk about his performance as we continue on this Monday night, 7:10 ESPN.
You know, first of all, not even close to good enough on my part and throughout the whole game. Just need to be better, got to be better. I will be. Got to learn from some things and be a whole lot better.
All right, that was Rams quarterback Jared Goff following the Week 8 loss in Miami. We continue on this edition of the Coach McVay Show. DeMarco Farr and J.B. Long, looking forward to talking some defense here. Great first half for Brandon Staley and company. Taylor Rapp had a nice game yesterday. But while we just heard from Jared Goff, Sean, I just wanted to ask about empty sets and kind of a big picture first half view. Looking at what I would consider kind of the costly plays that Jared's taken in the first half of the schedule, sacks and turnovers namely, I counted 9 out of 17 came from empty sets. Is there a through line there? Is there a commonality there? Or am I connecting dots that don't necessarily shouldn't be?
Well, I think from yesterday's game, there's definitely some, you know, things that in those particular sets, understanding, you know, the numbers and the math is something that definitely hurt us and will be good learning ops. I think those other ones are a little bit more of outliers, but simply just kind of being able to continue to have an ownership and autonomy for exactly, you know, what's going on in those situations based on what they're activating, I think will be some really good learning ops for us. And when you have that approach, like you had just mentioned, you know, you can grow from it.
Coach, when a QB has a rough day, when you hear a press conference like that, I need to be better, you know, he's taking it on himself like you do. What's the best thing he can do the next time he gets on the practice field with his guys?
Yeah, just urgency and preparation. You know, I think seeing is better than anything you can hear. And the way that you go about your daily work, the way that you go about it with an urgent, encouraged demeanor and disposition with how I attack the ability to fix mistakes is the best thing that I think you can do. And that's what he'll do when we come back. That's what we'll all do. And that's why I believe that we'll improve from this and use this setback as set up for a comeback.
Last thing on Jared, at 6'4", are you surprised at the number of balls that are being batted at the line of scrimmage, and do you attribute that to throwing lanes or arm angles or route concepts or some of all three?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I think, you know, in some instances when you're bringing six guys forward, or if you're underneath the center, when we did get some of those batted, you know, you're just not as far away from those hands. And if they end up saying, okay, I'm going to stop my rush when I realize the quarterback sets up a little bit quicker. You know, these guys are under, these guys are taught on defense and they're smart that, you know, the drop of the quarterback is in alignment with some of the depths of those routes. And if you're not, you know, in the timing as well. And so when the quarterback sets up and they recognize that quicker and they haven't been able to work an edge on a defense, you know, on an offensive lineman, their immediate response is to get their hands up and try to affect the game in that way. And their guys did a nice job in a lot of instances doing that.
Well, I just had to overcome a lot, like you said, to keep the game close to your defense and even the punt return. Did you have any insight from your view? What do you think happened on the punt return for touchdown?
Yeah, I thought we lost, you know, we lost leverage on our edges. And, you know, we knew that Jakeem Grant was going to be dangerous. I did think there was a penalty on the edge that wasn't called, you know, whether it was, you know, the way that they ended up continuing to stay engaged with Simba Webster as our left gunner there. But then also when the ball went back down that sideline, you know, it was a really close play that I'll be interested to see how the league sees it when they look at it based on my interpretation of the rules and what I think, you know, would be called there or wouldn't be. But either way, we got to do a better job of leveraging the football and making sure that we don't let an explosive playmaker get going. Thought Van Jefferson stepped up in a variety of different roles on special teams, especially because of some of the adjustments we had to make last minute with, you know, some things that went unforeseen as far as right before kickoff. But, you know, Van will be able to learn where he can kind of throw and maybe try to just get him off his spot. He won as a gunner and got down there, but now you got to really shoot your shot and give it a chance to, you know, not necessarily always expecting the guy to make that tackle, but if you stymie his ability to really just be able to hit that thing full speed, it might slow the pursuit and his ability to be able to get it down the right sideline. But, you know, the thing that I think stood out to me is when you look at the score, it's 7-7. The defense gets a turnover with 11-11 left in the second quarter, and the offense gets the ball on the 9-yard line. The next, you know, in the 9 or the 8-yard line, whatever it was, maybe even the 7, the next thing you know, the next step defensively, the score is 21-7 because they score a defensive touchdown on that same possession. And then on the next possession, when the offense is, when we come out to punt, Jakeem Grant takes the punt back and it's 21-7 before you knew it. And that was a reflection of the ways that we beat ourselves. And, you know, with the way that our defense had played, didn't really give them a chance to take over that game and take advantage of some of the advantageous spots that they put us in as a team. And for that, I'm very, very disappointed.
That's the job. Life ain't fair on defense, man. You just got to play them as you get them, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
How about the play How about the play Rat made in the midst of that sequence you're talking about? And from a broader perspective, the way that he settled into his role in the back end of this Brandon Staley defense and what it might look like when you bring the full complement back with Fuller after the bye.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not sure about that. I just know Taylor played a really high level yesterday. Did a great job. I think he's played well each of the last couple weeks. You know, Troy came in and kind of got a little side swipe, and then it was capped off by Taylor that forced that fumble, and it's a huge play. But I thought he had great energy. I thought our defense as a whole was really, you know, they played winning football yesterday. They get, you know, the turnovers and in really good field position. One we were able to capitalize on, and unfortunately the other was not even close. And so that's what's tough, but again, I'm just excited about the ability to move forward and honestly have to stop talking about this game.
No doubt. Hey, how's Jalen Ramsey? Kind of a surprise.
He's feeling better.
He's feeling better?
He is, yeah. He was in the facilities today. He was feeling better. That's always a big loss anytime you lose a player of his caliber and magnitude. But I thought the guys did a nice job of being able to seamlessly step in. And like we said, our defense played really well. But you know, those guys stepping up, you know, that does affect, you know, some of the adjustments that Coach Bonamago and Woodbury have to make on special teams. And, you know, guys tried to fill in admirably, but, you know, it was it made it more difficult in some of those phases for those guys.
What went into the pregame decision to play or not play A'shaun Robinson this week as opposed to giving him a couple more weeks to ramp up for his L.A. debut?
Yeah, it was really just exclusive to just the way the practice week went when you're coming off a short week playing on Monday Night Football. Didn't really have a lot of the practice ops that we would have liked and, you know, to be able to get him in a place where he's feeling comfortable and getting the amount of repetitions that's necessary to go play, you know, live football. And that was more of just kind of a precautionary decision on our part. He would have been ready to go, but we felt like it would have been best to say, let's continue to give him these next couple weeks and have him ready to roll for Seattle.
I mean, every time you see him, you're just like, I can't wait for this to be on the field. You know, that size, that width, that depth. I mean, my goodness. You know what I mean? With Aaron Donald. That's going to be fun to watch.
It will be. You know, he'll add a big boost to us, and we're excited about that.
What would you say from the first half is the thing you're most proud of or the thing you're most pleased with about the 2020 Los Angeles Rams?
I think it's just the resilience of this group. You know, we are resilient. I think we're mentally tough. I think they're a connected team that stays connected in spite of some of the adversity that we faced, specifically in games like Buffalo and yesterday. Gave us a chance to get back in it. Obviously, Buffalo, where we were able to retake the lead, but based on the way the defense continued to compete and then some of the plays we made offensively, we gave ourselves a chance. We didn't do enough. It was a little bit too little too late, and we dug ourselves in too big of a hole. But I think that, and then, you know, just the way that the defense has played has been a real positive, bright spot. And then I think we've seen in flashes the capabilities that we have offensively. I thought the Chicago game was a real positive for our special teams, but I'm looking to see just more consistent production, you know, really from those two phases and a sustained amount, a level of production from our defense in the second half.
Do you mean connected as in the we, not me thing? Is that what you mean, staying connected, staying together?
Yeah, you know, I do. And I what I mean by that is, too, is I've been on some teams where, you know, clearly, you know, you've got the team, and I just loved the demeanor of our defense throughout the game when there was probably a lot of frustrating moments for them where they're just continuing to battle and continue to be supportive of their teammates. And, you know, we win and lose as a team, and I felt that truly reflected as opposed to any sort of finger pointing. And I think that's a really powerful thing that exists when you've got strong character and leadership like we do have in that locker room. That's been a real positive. And I think, you know, we always want to continue to embody that. And I think it'll serve us well, especially in the latter half of the season.
That defense seems like it has the potential to finish as the best that you've had under your leadership here with the Rams. As you go into this bye, do you feel, I don't want to call it tension, but like kind of the balance between, yes, we want to score more points, we want to make sure that our offense is up to par, versus, or maybe in conjunction with, hey, how do we leverage our defense? How do we play to their strengths and make sure that they're not playing in any short field situations? Because when you have to go 80 yards against them, the results aren't typically good.
Yeah, I think that's the number one job, you know, that I have as a coach is making sure that you figure out the formula for how do we win this football game as a team. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that for the most part this season. Yesterday, I don't think was reflective of that. And that's where, you know, I've got to be honest with myself and be able to evaluate that, hey, you know, we want to try to be able to move the ball and score points, but at the risk of some of the things that could occur and that ultimately did occur yesterday with turning the ball over and some of the mistakes, you know, could you avoid that with the play selection or, you know, some of our answers based on wanting to those looks? And the answer is, yeah, you got to be able to take a hard look at yourself and be honest, because you know, and you know, you wonder if you're able to minimize those mistakes, you know, are you able to win that game if those don't occur? And I think you feel pretty good about the answer being yes if we had done that.
All right, as we continue on the Coach McVay Show on this Monday night, we'll take a look at the rookie class at the midway point. Cam Akers had a really nice catch and run, one of the highlights from Week 8 at Miami. We'll get the coach's perspective on that and more as we continue tonight on 710 ESPN. All right, 8 games into their rookie campaign, let's take a look at some of the Rams draft picks and get Coach McVay's perspective on players like Cam Akers, who had a nice catch and run yesterday. I know the early season injury at Philadelphia kind of put him behind schedule, maybe in what you had projected for his development. But where would you say that Cam Akers is in your backfield after a half season of work?
Yeah, I think that's the tough thing is getting injured in week 2 on the first drive of the game, and you know, that really setting him back a few weeks. I think that, limited a lot of the opportunities he would have gotten. I thought he had some real bright spots against the Washington football team a few weeks ago. Kind of dynamic, electric playmaker he is when the ball's in his hands. It's just continuing to learn how to compete without the ball, all the little things that go into playing running back on all three downs. And he's got a great leader in Thomas Brown to be able to guide him. And I think this guy's big-time player for us for many years to come.
Those flash plays, man, they're intoxicating. You just want to see more and more when you see what he can do with the football. You know, you can see the talent. I can see why you guys liked him in the draft.
Yeah, no, and I thought that that catch and run that you guys alluded to on the sideline was indicative of the kind of playmaker he is, where he can put his foot in the ground, he can get to full speed quickly, put his foot in the ground again and cut back, and you know, the ability to be able to stop and start, you know, accelerate quickly in short area spaces is definitely a great trait for a running back to possess.
Next up in the Rams class was Van Jefferson, who made a couple of nice plays in the passing game yesterday, but I appreciate them even more in the context of what you said you were asking him to do, maybe unprompted or unprepared in the special teams phase of the game, too. I'm sure he's taking in a lot right now.
Yeah, he is. He's a good football player. He's another guy that I think is going to have an extremely bright future. The learning curve with some of these guys, you know, just based on, you know, some of the continuity that we've had offensively is a little bit steeper, specifically at some of those skill spots. But both of these guys, you know, the future is bright. The expectations and the plans that we have for them, whether it be the second half of the season or moving forward for years to come, expect these guys to be focal points and very excited about, you know, what we think we've got in them and looking forward to continued maturity as the season progresses.
Coach, I can't tell you how much I respect that out of a receiver, a rookie receiver that you can actually use on special teams. That's not a specialist. You know what I mean? A guy that can actually be in the 2D.
I do.
If things go, you know, whatever, but he can actually contribute on special teams in a tough sort of way.
Yeah, I think he's got a toughness that you really like, natural ability to control his body, the movement, all those types of things. And I think that's been a real positive. And, you know, you can see the football pedigree. His dad was such a tough competitor as well. And, you know, Van is the same.
That catch late second quarter that went to video replay. Are you guys coaching getting a shin down now up there in Thousand Oaks? Like, that was pretty impressive the way he was able to get another piece of the body down.
It was, you know, he that was all him. He did a great job there and that was a good play for us.
I've never heard a call like that. He got a body part down. That's what the ref said. So now we're going to body parts, you know?
Funny.
I had a chance to know Terrell Lewis a little bit last week. Interesting gentleman, has a good perspective on the game. Seems like his time in Alabama served him really well. Another kind of late arrival because of a couple of complicating factors, but is the best portion of his rookie season ahead of him in the second half?
I think so. I think, you look at it, you know, you see the size, the athleticism. I think coming from that pedigree, like you mentioned, at Alabama, you know, the game makes sense to him. I thought, you know, the play that he made against the Bears a couple weeks ago was a big-time play on 4th-and-1 where he recognized the formation and had a feel that, you know, there was a possible sneak, but he felt that they were going to run kind of that toss-crack type of action, and he ended up blowing it up and making a big-time play. So Terrell is another guy that we are excited about and expect those opportunities to grow in the second half of the season.
Some point I'd like to, you know, because I played against his daddy, I'd love to see Hopkins out there, you know, see what he can do. Grab somebody his dad.
I know. That's right. He's a guy that, again, you know, has done some good stuff on the practice field. We've got some depth at that spot, you know, with three tight ends that have played a lot of football for us. And, you know, there was a chance that he was going to get some opportunities against the Bears with Higby missing that game. But Munt filled in and played so well. And as did Gerald, and didn't really need to get into any of those three tight end groupings, but we had some of those things up and he was ready to go. And that was the first time that he was active last week, but he's another guy that I do believe is on track under, you know, Wes Phillips, you know, kind of tutelage of being a good player for us.
DeMarco and I haven't spoken to you, Sean, since the Terrell Burgess injury and subsequent surgery. Can you just give us an update on how that went and then how he's handling it here in the midway point of his rookie season?
Yeah, it went really well. You know, unfortunately for Terrell, it was right, you know, in the midst of him starting to play such good football, really in both phases when you add in special teams to the mix. But this is a guy that's got great versatility, great toughness. He can play safety. He can play the star, which, you know, is our nickel position. You could just really see the comfort level that he has with some of the things that we're asking him to do in our defense. And he's a guy that I think has an extremely bright future as well. You know, you hate that for Terrell because he was only going to get increasing opportunities based on what he had done production-wise. And, that was a big loss for us.
And then with respect to Fuller, do you feel like the stinger injury that I guess was aggravated in the win at Washington will be taken care of, or will be in a better place when you come back to face the Seahawks on the other side of the bye week?
That's the hope. You know, we're just taking it a day at a time. You know, he's done a great job with Reggie and his group of being able to rehab and get a feel for, you know, where, you know, getting him back to a position where he can compete at a level that we've seen him play at. And he's a really good football player. He's tough. He's explosive and he's got great range. So was so impressed. I think, you know, really of all the rookies, you know, he might have been the one that stood out the most in terms of the maturity and the ability to earn himself a big time role that has a lot of responsibilities on our defense with the communication that safety spot entails. And, you know, when he's been out there, he's played really good football for us. Looking forward to whenever that is, whether it's Seattle or after that, they were able to get him back for us.
You know, safety's always been important to a defense, to a football team. But it seems like, to me, it's turning into a glamour position because of what's going on the other side of the ball. Like, having good safeties is paramount now for what you're facing. Different offenses and having to switch up on a dime week to week depending on who you're playing. What makes a good safety to you at this level?
Yeah, I think you just mentioned it, DeMarco. I think it's the versatility. It's the ability to, you know, be effective defending the run or defending the pass. And in a lot of instances, you're seeing these safeties that have some position flex where they can kind of play on the second level of defense. In some instances, you can activate them as a blitzer, and then they can also play in the deep part of it or even match up in man coverage, you know, on receiver type bodies, not exclusive to just tight ends. And so that's where I think you're seeing, you know, that safety position as in essence become kind of like a joker position where can move tight ends all over the formation or running backs. And when you've got safeties that are capable of doing that, it gives you that much more.
Sean, I think we lost you just for a second there at the tail end of that answer, but just make sure you're still with us. Sounds like you are. Last question for this segment would be, any plans to extend the kicking competition at all during the bye? I know that you added Austin McGinnis to the practice squad and brought in Kai Forbath to the active roster. I can't imagine one game is enough sample size for Kai. Would you move forward with him after the break?
Yeah, I think so, JB. Especially because you're so limited and, you know, we're mandated to give them Thursday through Sunday off. So there's not a whole lot more that we can do in the meantime. So we'll stick with that, but we'll continue to evaluate both guys as we move forward and always make decisions that we think are best for the team.
All right, coming up, we'll look ahead to the second half, which includes a stretch of 5 games in 26 days. It is heavy on NFC West play. Glad to have Sean McVay with us tonight. DeMarco Farr and JB Long here, and the final segment of the Coach McVay Show is coming up on 710 ESPN. All right, we continue with Sean McVay, with DeMarco Farr, JB Long from LA Live in downtown Los Angeles. The bye week structure we've kind of gone over with Sean McVay so far. Any additional words of caution for your players as you send them to their weekend, given, you know, kind of the COVID situation around the league? I appreciate the fact that the midway point of your season, your ecosystem has held up pretty well to this point, so I commend you on that.
Yeah, no, it's a credit to those guys. They've done a nice job, and really it's just being smart. You know, I know they'll be around family and friends, and I think this is a time to be able to relax and catch your breath while also making sure that we're ready for the second half, push that we need to make to be able to do what we expect to accomplish. And so guys have a responsibility in that, and I trust that they'll hold up their end of the bargain, and that's kind of really what the messaging was.
Yeah, you're not barred from the building as a player, right? I mean, you can come in, get treatment, lift, watch film. You can make it an entire week if you want, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, you can do that. And, you've got to be mindful. You know, there's only certain things that we can do with our guys just based on, you know, some of the CBA and the protocols. But I think it is important, too, to be able to catch your breath and be able to kind of decompress as well, because, you know, 8 games is a long time, and usually we've had kind of that Thursday game sprinkled in between, and so without that, you know, it's been 8 straight weeks, and there's been a lot of travel, as we've talked about a lot, that I think does take the toll on you.
How about coming out the other side? I mean, you don't feel the need to tweak anything out of the bye just because you fell at Pittsburgh last year. I even think of that win at Detroit, which clinched the division in 18, was maybe a little sleepy at the start, but you don't feel like you have to rework anything with your post bye week practice schedule, do you?
I think, you know, you might make a couple adjustments just to make sure that we're peaking at the right time, but it's always a good thing to be able to look back on and reflect, and just making sure that we try to get those things fixed coming out of it, so that we can be a little bit sharper, because we know we're going to have to be at our best to go get what we need to get done against the Seahawks coming out of this thing.
What did I miss coming out of the bye last time? Nothing.
We didn't play very good.
Oh, is that what it was?
We haven't played very well. That was what he was talking about.
Oh, I mean,
we had a flat performance against the Lions, and then we definitely did not play well at all against Pittsburgh, specifically, you know, offensively.
Thank you for jogging my memory. Now
well,
I know.
It's just, I think the assumption.
Thanks for jogging mine. Thanks for jogging mine too. I appreciate it.
I tried to point out that it was a division clinching win in 2018 against the Lions. Just, you know, a little bit sleepy on the East Coast there in the early window, and
it was sleepy to get to 11-1 that year.
There you go.
Well, you want to wake up? I mean, like you said, out of the bye week, you got Seattle coming up. I mean, that's
right.
Would scare anybody awake. You know,
I
to play
so.
Your best. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean that's got to be cool. I mean, when you think about it from a football perspective, you wish you had won this week. You got the bye. You got to deal with it. But your next game is a division rival, a good football team. It's going to get you jacked up.
Absolutely. If you're any sort of competitor, the guys will be ready to go. We got plenty of those kind of guys, coaches and players alike. And that's the only thing that you're just a little pissed off about is that, you know, because of the performance yesterday, you got to sit on it a little bit longer. The thing I love about the NFL is, especially coming off a disappointing performance, you get a chance to rectify it quickly by focusing your attention on the next opponent. And for us, you know, it's going to be a little bit longer than what we'd like to be able to get our next stop to compete. But that's the hand that we're dealt, and we put ourselves in this situation.
What is your perspective on the division, glimpses of games that you've seen or observed so far, having only played one of them yourself head-to-head against San Francisco?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you, JB. Like, I don't really look too much at it. I just take it one week at a time. I'm aware that we've got three really good teams in our division, but I'm also aware that every single team on our schedule is capable of beating us if we're not ready to go, while also acknowledging the fact that I think if we play at our best, we're capable of winning any game that we play in. And so yesterday was a good eye-opener, as was the previous week, you know, and we've got to find a way to play more consistent football in all three phases. Like I've mentioned, I think our defense has done a nice job of being the most consistent of the three phases, and I expect us to be more in alignment with that with the other two in the second half of the season. If we expect to play and do the things that we need to accomplish, and that we should if we reach our highest potential, and then it's my job to be able to try to get that done with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you get all three phases, like you said, clicking, you're as good as anybody. Going 8 straight weeks in the NFL, I mean, that's tough. I mean, but teams have had deeper buys. Some teams have had to go 10 weeks, you know, 11 weeks before they have a bye. So, I mean, 8 weeks is definitely doable to play at your best.
It is. You know, I think the difference in what you realize, especially each of the last couple years with the way that our schedule's been allocated, DeMarco, is that I see those Thursday games as mini buys. And so, you know, while it is 2 games in a really short amount of time, you still get, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off to kind of just recoup and refresh. And you got 10 days in between, you know, that Thursday game and your next opportunity usually. And that's where you felt the 8 games, you know, feel like a while, because, you know, each of the last couple of years when we've had a little bit later bye, we were playing a week 3, 4 or week 5 Thursday night game that in essence served as a mini bye that I think in an ideal scenario is kind of perfectly situated in the right spot for your schedule if I had my druthers.
It brings me to a question I've always wanted to ask you about. Needing to get work, we need to get on the field and get ourselves better versus we need to get our rest too. Is that always tough for a coach?
100%. It's always finding the balance of bodies being fresh and then getting the tactical performance that you need. And that's what I think is so unique about our sport, is that you don't have an opportunity to use the games as a chance to truly improve. You have to find ways to creatively improve and ramp it up during practice. But you can't do it all the time because guys won't be fresh when you play on Sundays or whenever kickoff is. And so finding that balance of picking and choosing those spots to really ramp up practice throughout the course of what really is a 3-day work week in terms of the practice schedules around the league is always a challenge. But it is, in my opinion, the teams that manage that the best are the ones that find a way of doing that while also having their players healthy and fresh when the games roll around. And that's always that balance. And that's where you rely on your performance staff in a lot of instances to help kind of help allocate the time and then being able to measure the tactical as well.
And your leadership too, right? What I've always appreciated about the way that you've treated your roster is there's not a one-size-fits-all solution. Like what works for Aaron Donald and for Andrew Whitworth is not necessarily what's going to be Tremaine Ankrum and Greg Gaines' plan. Am I correct?
That's exactly right, JB. Yeah, 100%. We definitely try to do that. I think you take into account the experience and then the level of ownership that you want to give to these veteran players based on their feedback. And that's definitely something that we've tried to do a good job of, and those players have enabled us to do that.
You know, Whitworth kind of made a crack about the schedule makers and all the travel and how it was kind of piling up on his 38-year-old body. I know you are very careful to never make an excuse about four East Coast early window trips, but it does come around in the second half, and you guys have so far leveraged SoFi Stadium, whatever home field advantage there might be, to your benefit. Is that kind of the silver lining of the price you've paid on the airplane so far?
Yeah, I think it's a positive. You know, I think, but you know, we could say all we want about yesterday, but yesterday was our inability to execute versus some of those pressure looks. I mean, that I don't think that had anything to. Our defense didn't look like they were feeling any sort of toll of
true.
You know, the East Coast travel. So I think it's really, how do you play? You know, is it ideal? No, you don't want to jump on a plane, but I think, you know, we've got the guys that are capable of finding it within themselves to be able to bring it for that 3.5 hour window. I'm not minimizing, because it's easy for me to say. I'm on the sideline just, you know, making decisions, not necessarily playing. And the physical toll and the respect that I have for these players and what they put their bodies through is something that, you know, I can't even describe, you know, the amount of respect and appreciation I have for them. So I definitely don't ever want to minimize that, but I don't think that was a result of why we didn't get it done yesterday.
Oh, no doubt. And do you believe in the copycat league rule that, okay, so that hurts you, you're going to see it again the next week or the next week until you stop it?
I do. I think that if it fits for the system that you're going to play, you know, and that's where you have to be able to address it. And if it fits for the Seahawks or the Bucks or whoever else you play, I think you will see a variation of it, because like anything else, until you show that you have the ability to have some answers and some solutions and execute those, you know, why wouldn't that would be a smart thing to activate? And, you know, the thing too is when you look at those, we had some answers. We had, you know, in some instances we did execute versus it, but to be able to make them pay early on, like I thought we had some chances to, then they felt comfortable and confident to be able to continue to activate that, especially with some of the successful plays that they had that led to some turnovers and guys being able to get hits on the quarterback. And those are the things that, you know, we've got to be aware of and we've got to address and be able to handle it. And that's the beauty of this game, is you got to be able to do that. And I think that's my job and our job to get it fixed.
It's a little bit of a stretch here, Sean, but one of the things I've kind of been saving for the next conversation with you is Dan Orlovsky had a nice bit about how young quarterbacks have been drilled to get past their first read. And he told an anecdote about being in camp with you and Jared Goff and how you kind of helped your young quarterback get to 2 and 3 in a progression. So if it's all right with you, I'll have Mike Pearson play that. And I would love to kind of maybe, you know, draw a parallel in terms of how you might get Jared more comfortable into the situations he's dealing with now.
And so what Sean did was get ahead of it. He would script plays in practice, and he would tell the scout team defense, like, hey, this is number one in the progression. Take that guy away. I want you guys to take that guy away to force Jared to get to 2 or to get to 3 in the progression. Every single play, he would script full practices. The whole practice would be geared on getting Jared to work to number 2, number 3, even number 4. Now, Jared had absolutely no clue that this was going on.
I know it's not exactly apples to apples with what we're talking about here tonight, but one, just your recollection of that moment in time and his comments there, and then how you might handle this bye week in that regard.
Yeah, you know, Dan has a great capacity and command over that position, and I've learned a lot and really enjoyed being with Dan, you know, the time that we spent together our first year. But I think you're always trying to just make sure that, you know, you are having contingency plans, and, you know, if things don't always go the way we want, you know, how can you really be able to put guys in practice settings that are forcing themselves to kind of solve some of the problems? And that's not exclusive to just, you know, progressing in the pass game. That might be handling some of the protection looks or audibles that a lot of those instances required yesterday. And that will be something that, you know, we try to sprinkle in. And like anything else, you know, when you've got the right approach, you know, repetition is the mother of learning, as is that experience that you can accumulate when handled the right way. And I do believe that that's exactly how Jared will utilize these things, you know, and it's not just Jared learning. I mean, I'm learning as a coach every single day and every single game. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of things that I know I got to do a better job of. And that's where, you're, you know, you're motivated and driven to be able to do that and never be complacent and think that you have all the answers. And that's what kind of drives you as a competitor. And that's the approach that we'll both take.
See, that's why I like you. You help the defense cheat in practice.
There you go.
Thank you. Tell me where the ball's going. Help me out.
Well, I know it's a bye week unlike any other for lots of reasons and not the note that you wanted to enter on. But nonetheless, we appreciate your patience with us. You showing up to kind of finish week eight with this conversation. Rest up yourself. And here's to a great second half for you and your Los Angeles Rams.
Okay. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
And for DeMarco Farr, I'm JB Long. This has been the Coach McVay Show on 710 ESPN.